أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir program page by page. Inshallah ta'ala, today we are on page 147, which is in the 8th juz of the Quran, Surah Al-An'am. In the previous episode, we mentioned those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the people of Jahiliyyah and the Arabs at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Quraysh and other than the Quraysh, and how they used to invent and innovate into their religion laws and commands that they would then ascribe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falsely. And Allah azza wa jal gave us a number of examples of this, and many of them were connected to the issues of food and livestock. So they would, from their livestock, the animals that they would have, they would determine that some of those animals, it was forbidden for you to ride, for example, or forbidden for you to work upon the earth, or to use as animals or modes of transportation, or to carry your goods upon. And they would do this based upon some type of superstition that they had, that this animal gave birth to such and such, and then such and such, and because of the birth that it gave, or the child that it had, then now it's not allowed for us, permissible for us to use it for work. Other animals they would determine, for example, were impermissible to eat, or they would say they are permissible only for us, meaning the males, the men, and it is impermissible for our women folk. They would have all of these different types of laws that they would innovate and that they would then ascribe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this was to show their ignorance. Allah azza wa jal is showing to us their ignorance, and how when people turn away from the path of Allah azza wa jal and they become engrossed in shirk and in the ignorance that brings, that they will then go on to manipulate in terms of or change and alter the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made halal and permissible. And they will go to extremes in this, as we see in the examples of this. The verses that we begin with today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now speaking about this issue, still continuing with this issue of what they would allow and what they would not allow. And how Allah Azza wa Jalla has in His Sharia, and the beauty of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that it is a Sharia that is pure in His commands. That it is a sharia that is beneficial for people. It is a sharia that makes sense, that doesn't have just these arbitrary rulings that the, for example, that the Arabs used to have and that they would place upon themselves and their communities. We continue therefore with verse 142, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ حَمُولَةً وَفَرْشًا كُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He gave to you livestock as beasts of burden and beasts that are not. So eat what Allah has provided for you and do not follow in shaitan's footsteps, for he is your sworn enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He speaks about therefore the way that we in the sharia, our sharia, the sharia of Allah Azza wa Jalla that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way that we look at livestock. In the previous episodes, Allah Azza wa Jalla told us the false way that the Arabs would look on these issues. They would look at livestock and they would determine that this is permissible, this is not permissible, and why is it permissible or impermissible for them, whether it's to use or to ride or to carry stuff upon or to eat. It's simply because of the child that was born from this animal. And they would determine that, even though you have nothing to do with that and it has no bearing on the animal, but they would invent these things and then ascribe them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that these animals are livestock, and livestock, as Allah Azza wa Jalla then go on to mention in the coming verses, when we speak about animals of domesticated livestock, we're speaking about sheep, we're speaking about goats, we're speaking about cows, we're speaking about camels. These are the four main categories of livestock, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has made them halal and permissible, and there are benefits from them as well. Such as, for example, using some of those animals to ride upon, using some of those animals to carry things upon, as the Arabs used to do, for example, with their camels. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 142, وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ حَمُولَةً وَفَرْشًا. There are from amongst those animals that which you can use to carry things upon, or that you yourselves can ride upon, because of their height, because of their strength, because of their build. So for example, people ride upon camels, and they have done so for many generations and many centuries. People ride upon buffalo, for example, and they ride upon them also, and they use them to till the earth and use them to work the earth and the farms that they have. So those are animals that Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed to be used, and He has made them in their strength and in the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created them. He has made them appropriate for certain types of things, such as transportation or such as working the earth and riding upon and carrying things upon. وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ حَمُولَ. From those livestock are those types of animals. وَفَرْشَ. And then there are other animals that you cannot ride upon. They're too small, you can't carry things upon. So like the sheep, the lamb, the goat, these are not really animals that you use, for example, to ride upon. You don't sit upon a sheep and get it to go from one place to another. Nor would you place a great deal of weight upon it, because it won't be able to bear that burden or carry it. Nor is it used, for example, to till the earth or in farming, used in that type of way. Those are the animals that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made them into. So there are different ways that we can categorize those animals. But the common thing that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to all of them is that they are halal to consume. So yes, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that there may be distinctions in some things or other that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made for them, and that therefore you would use them in one way or another. But these are not just arbitrary things. It's based upon the strength of the animal. It's based upon the ability of the animal. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one thing that He has made halal for though, concerning all of them, is that they are permissible to consume. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. So eat what Allah Azza wa Jalla has provided for you, and do not follow in the footsteps of shaytan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. For he is your sworn enemy. So what Allah has made halal, it is permissible for you to consume. And Allah Azza wa Jalla did not say that if that animal, for example, gives birth to a child or a male, and then that male or a female, or he gives birth to a number of males in succession, or whatever it may be that the Arabs had in their superstitions, that all of a sudden now the animal itself becomes haram to consume. These types of laws, you don't find Allah Azza wa Jalla said it's permissible to eat. And as long as it's ritually slaughtered and done in the correct way, and it doesn't have anything else that would prevent you from eating and consuming its meat, then it is halal and permissible according to the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And to do otherwise, or to manipulate and change those laws, is from the handiworks of shaitan. It is from the ways that the shaitan comes and he gets people to change the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is from the following of his footsteps, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. And he is your clear enemy. In verse 143, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes now into detail on this issue, and he says, ثَمَانِيَةَ أَزْوَاجَ مِنَ الضَّأْنِ اثْنَيْنِ وَمِنَ الْمَعْزِ اثْنَيْنِ قُلْ آذَّكَرَيْنِ حَرَّمَ أَمِ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ أَمَّ اشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ أَرْحَامُ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ نَبِّئُونِي بِعِلْمٍ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah has given to you 8 animals in pairs. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you 8 animals in pairs, a pair of sheep and a pair of goats. Ask them, has He forbidden the 2 males or the 2 females or the young in the wombs of the 2 females? Tell me based upon knowledge if you are telling the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses that Allah Azza wa Jalla made for you, in the previous verse, that Allah Azza wa Jalla made halal for you these domesticated animals. What are the domesticated animals? Number 1 and 2, the sheep and the goats. And Allah Azza wa Jalla describes them as pairs because you have male and females in both. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that you have a male sheep and a female sheep. You have the male goat and the female goat. Those are the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made in the first of those 2 categories of the 4 pairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask them concerning these, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say to them, and this is for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask the people of the Quraysh, based upon the way that they would understand these rules and how they would say that this is permissible or this is impermissible. He would say to them, has He forbidden, meaning did Allah Azza wa Jalla made haram for you the males or the females or the young in the wombs of the 2 males? Meaning that if the animal gives birth to the males, do they then become haram? If the animal gives birth to females, does it become haram? Or if it has a mixture of males and females, does it then become haram? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who gave you this? Where did this come from? These rulings that you had, as we mentioned in the previous episode, that they would say that if an animal had a certain type of child, or it had in succession a number of litter or a number of children in a certain type of way, that then the animal now becomes impermissible for us to consume. It's not allowed for you to use it, not allowed for you to ride upon it. نَبِّئُونِي بِعِلْمٍ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah says, tell me based upon knowledge if you are telling the truth. Where did this come from? Which Sharia do you find this in? Which Prophet of Allah did you bring this in? And this is in a relatively small issue, in the issue of food and in the issue of consumption. And the Quraysh, as we said previously, they would do this, and the Arabs generally would do this in many of the issues in the society. And if this is what they would do in something as small as an animal, right, which doesn't have any necessarily direct bearing upon you and your life, it is something which you consume or something which you work, but it's not considered to be a family member, it's not another human, it's not something which you covet in that way, then what about the oppression that they did in matters which were greater? If in this small thing they're willing to manipulate and change and alter the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal, then what about in those which are greater issues of marriage and divorce and inheritance, where there is people's rights and people's lives and people's wealth and their property? What were they willing to do in those things instead? And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says, نَبِّئُونِ بِعِلْمٍ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Tell me based upon knowledge if you are telling the truth. And they had no knowledge of this. There was no logical reason for it. There was no reason as to why they would make this something all of a sudden which is now beloved to their idols and therefore impermissible to consume or to use or to touch. This is something which they came up with as a result of their own whims and desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 144 then goes on to the next two categories of those pairs. And he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنَ الْإِبِلِ اثْنَيْنِ وَمِنَ الْبَقَرِ اثْنَيْنِ قُلْ أَذَّكَرَيْنِ حَرَّمَ أَمِ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ أَمَّ اشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ أَرْحَامُ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ وَصَّاكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا لِيُضِلَّ النَّاسَ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And a pair of camels and a pair of cattle. Ask them, has he forbidden the two males, the two females, or the young in the wombs of the two females? Were you present when Allah gave you these commands? So who is more wicked than he who fabricates lies against Allah with no basis in knowledge in order to lead people astray? Indeed, Allah does not love the evildoers. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla goes on to the second two categories. So we've done the sheep, we've done the goats. The other two categories in the livestock animals are the cows, the cattle, and the camels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ الْإِبِلِ اثْنَيْنِ وَمِنَ الْبَقَرِ اثْنَيْنِ. And a pair of camels and a pair of cattle, because the cattle will include the cows and the buffalo and so on. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about them as well. What about these animals? Ask them again, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَذَّكَرَيْنِ حَرَّمْ أَمِ الْأُنْثَيْنِ أَمْ اشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ أَرْحَامُ الْأُنْثَيْنِ. Did he forbid the males or the females or the young in the wombs of the females? How did you come again about this as well? Just as they did with the goats and the sheep, likewise they said concerning the cows and the camels. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, where again did this come from? What is it based upon? Who decides? Who determined this? Where did it come from? And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla then goes on to say, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ وَصَّاكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا. Were you present? Were you witnesses when Allah gave these commands? Meaning, where did this come from? And that shows to us therefore a very important principle in our religion. And when it comes to the issues of the Sharia and the laws of Islam, you must make sure that they have come from the authentic sources of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And that is why when you hear, for example, or you see amongst Muslims today practices that you hear people, maybe they speak about or they speak against or they object concerning, don't be someone who just doesn't listen to this or just dismisses this. For me and you, for every person, the question that we should be asking as Muslims is, do we find this in the Book of Allah or do we find this in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if the answer is yes, it has a basis for it. There is an established practice of it going all the way back to that time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there's a part of the religion. But if something that you don't find clearly in the Quran and the Sunnah, or you find some type of indirect allusion to it or indirect wording that may or may not suggest it, then you look at the time of the companions. The companions were the people who knew Islam best after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They learned from him, they studied from him, they narrated from him, they lived with him, they practiced Islam in front of him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would correct them and he would rebuke them and he would teach them and he would educate them. And so they knew the religion of Islam better than those who came after them. So if there is a practice that you don't find that the companions did, that it was alien to them, that they weren't aware of, it wasn't something which they understood, than to come 100, 200, 300 or 1,000 years later and say that that is part of Islam, that is similar to what these people are doing. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ وَصَّاكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا. Were you witnesses when Allah made this part of your religion? If you weren't there at that time, then you can't claim that it is part of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for me and you, then what do we do? What is our recourse? To go back to those texts of the Quran and the Sunnah and to see what the early generations of Muslims understood from them. So if it's not something which they clearly understood, it's not something which you find from that time, then to come later on, even if it is done with the best of intentions, even if it is done out of the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if it is done out of love for the religion of Islam, it's alien to our religion. Because every religion can then come and manipulate and change and so on. And how often does Allah Azza wa Jal criticize people for doing things that have no basis of knowledge? As He does here subhanahu wa ta'ala when He says, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا لِيُضِلَّ النَّاسَ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Who is more weak, wicked, more oppressive, more evil than the one who fabricates lies against Allah with no basis in knowledge in order to lead people astray? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning these people, not only are they ascribing lies to Allah, they have no basis for it. There's nothing in knowledge that would give it. And that shows to us that our religion must be based upon knowledge. It can't be based just upon your culture or your elders and their practices or what people may or may not think. It must be based upon knowledge. Knowledge that is firm and knowledge that is authentic from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what that means, therefore, is that its understanding must be something which the companions and the early generations of Muslims understood, because they knew the Quran best and they knew the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam best. And if they didn't understand it in that way, it's not something which they understood, it's not something which they practiced, it's not something which they sanctioned, then for people to come after it and to claim it is either from this ascribing lies to Allah's religion, or it is speaking about Allah's religion without knowledge, and both of them are grave matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. For Allah Azza wa Jalla does not love those who do evil, those who are wicked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 145, قُلْ لَا أَجِدُ فِي مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ مُحَرَّمًا عَلَىٰ طَاعِمٍ يَطَعَمُهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ مَيْتَةً أَوْ دَمًا مَسْفُوحًا أَوْ لَحْمَ خِنْزِيرٍ فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ أَوْ فِسْقًا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, in all that has been revealed to me, I find nothing forbidden for people to eat except for carrion, flowing blood, pig's meat, it is loathsome, or a sinful offering over which any name other than Allah's has been invoked. But if someone is forced by hunger rather than desire or excess, then Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. After Allah Azza wa Jal rebukes the way of the mushrikeen in terms of these issues of eating and what is halal or haram to consume, and the way that they would just have these arbitrary laws and rules that they would invent for themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now instructs our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to highlight and to show very clearly, to state clearly the rule of Islam or the law of Islam when it comes to the food that we consume. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal tells the Prophet to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا أَجِدُ فِي مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ مُحَرَّمًا عَلَىٰ طَاعِمٍ يَطْعَمُ. It has been revealed to me that I find nothing forbidden for people to eat. This first portion of the verse is the general rule, therefore. The general rule in Islam when it comes to food and drink is that everything is halal. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them that in everything that has been revealed to me, I find nothing forbidden for people to eat. And then the ayah goes on to mention a number of exceptions. Why does it start in this way? Why doesn't Allah Azza wa Jal say instead that it's not allowed for you to eat this, and not allowed for you to eat that, and not allowed for you to consume this or to drink that, and then say and everything else is allowed? Because that's more confusing. What is the default rule? Is the default rule that lots of things are haram, and everything is haram except that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made halal, and the halal is what has been stipulated? Or is the default rule is that everything is halal except that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram and stipulated? And it is the latter that is the default rule. And that shows to you the beauty of the Sharia, number one. Number two, its ease. And number three, that the general ruling is that you don't need to worry about food or drink in general terms, but you have to be aware of a number of guidelines. You have to be aware of, for example, things that are haram to consume. And those are some of the ones that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned here. You have to be mindful of the way that something is slaughtered in terms of its ritual manner of slaughter and the mentioning of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the things that you have to be mindful of. Other than that, Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it halal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Sharia doesn't say, for example, onions are halal, cucumbers are halal, garlic is halal, tomatoes are halal, apples are halal. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla starts listing every single type of fruit and vegetable and meat and everything else. That would be too much. And it would be too exhausting. However, and that is also because in different times and places and ages, there are different types of food that come up. The culture of people changes, and the time that people live in a change, and people are always inventing new dishes and new types of food that they're bringing together and merging and amalgamating different dishes together and creating new ones. And so the Sharia doesn't need to go through all of that. Rather, it gives to you a general rule. Everything that you have is halal. That is the default rule. Illa أن يكون ميتا. And now Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned some of the exceptions, and they are, as we said, mentioned in a number of places in the Quran, except that they are carrion, meaning that they have died of their own accord without being ritually slaughtered. However they die, whether it's by falling off a cliff, whether it's by being strangled, whether it's by, for example, something, another animal gorging upon it, wherever it may be. أو دم مسفوحة, or that it is something which the flowing blood. And so flowing blood is something which is not halal for a person to consume. أو لحم خنزير, or the meat of a pig. That's something which Allah Azza wa Jal also has made halal. فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسِ, because all of this is loathsome, it is impure. And here some of the scholars said that Allah Azza wa Jal, when he mentions the word rijs, that all of these things are impure, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to go into all of the other details of what is haram. Some of them are mentioned elsewhere in the Quran. Some of them mentioned in more detail in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because all of them will come back to this one illah. They will come back to this one reason. And that is that all of them are considered to be impure. So for example, what the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you can't eat from the meat of the predator, the predatory animals, or the birds that have claws, that are predatory birds. These types of animals are not permissible for you to also consume. Why? Because they also come under this category of it being rijs, or it being a type of impurity that Allah Azza wa Jalla has therefore made haram. أو فِسْقًا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ, or it is a sinful offering over which any name other than Allah's has been invoked. Meaning that the meat in and of itself may be halal. The animal may be halal to consume. It's a sheep, it's a goat, it's a camel, it's a cow. But the way that it was slaughtered is not ritually accepted in Islam. Allah's name was mentioned. It wasn't slaughtered by a Muslim or by someone from the people of the book. It wasn't ritually slaughtered in the way that we're told to sever the arteries and so on. So it wasn't done in the correct way. And if it wasn't done in the correct way, or it was slaughtered in the name of other than Allah Azza wa Jal, then it becomes something which is fisq, it is sinful, it is haram. فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ. But as we've mentioned before in Surah Al-Ma'idah, if someone is forced to consume these types of haram foods because of hunger, because of some type of necessity and need, غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ, and they don't do it out of desire or excess, meaning they don't put themselves in that position on purpose just so they can eat haram. They don't just go and stay in the middle of a desert with only a bottle of wine and some haram meat, and then they're like, I don't have anything else and I'm about to die. Wait for that moment. That's someone doing out of desire. It's not real, true necessity. وَلَا عَادٍ, nor do they go over excessively overboard when they're in that particular situation. فَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla is most forgiving and most merciful to those people who are in such dire straits and needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 146, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا كُلَّ ذِي ظُفُرٍ وَمِنَ الْبَقَرِ وَالْغَنَمِ حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ شُحُومَهُمَا إِلَّا مَا حَمَلَتْ ظُهُورُهُمَا أَوْ الْحَوَايَا أَوْ مَا اخْتَلَطَ بِعَظْمٍ ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. We forbade for the Jews every animal with claws and the fat of cattle and sheep, except what is on their backs and in their intestines, or that which sticks to their bones. This is how we penalize them for their disobedience. We are true to our word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the general law of Islam when it comes to food and what is halal or haram in terms of consumption, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what he made haram for some of the people of the book, even though some of it was permissible for them to eat. meaning that in and of itself that meat was permissible, it's halal because it's something which is halal for us, and so therefore it is pure because Allah Azza wa Jalla does not make halal something which is not pure. But for them it was made haram, and it was made haram because of their oppression and because of their wrongdoing, not because the meat itself was haram, but because Allah Azza wa Jalla added it to them in their sharia as a means of rebuking them and making things difficult upon them when they themselves wanted that type of difficulty to be placed upon them. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا كُلَّ ذِي ظُفُرٍ. We forbade for the Jews every animal with claws. So for example, even the camels were not permissible for them. The camel is halal, it's pure, something which is permissible in our religion, but Allah Azza wa Jalla made it haram for them. And likewise, from وَمِنَ الْبَقَرِ وَالْغَنَمِ, and from the cattle and the sheep, حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ شُحُومَهُمَا. We made haram for them the fat of those animals. إِلَّا مَا حَمَلَتْ ظُهُورُهُمَا أَوِ الْحَوَايَا أَوْ مَخْتَرَطَ بِعَظُمْ, except the fat that was on the backs of those animals, or in their intestines, or that which was clinging to their bones. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the exception of this, He made the fat of those animals haram for them as well. And we know that it's permissible for us. You can have sheep fat, you can have cow fat, you can have those types of things to eat, and it is permissible for them, for us. But Allah Azza wa Jalla made it haram for them. Why did He make it haram for them? Because of their oppression, because of their wrongdoing, because of their sin, Allah Azza wa Jalla punished them in that way. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla may make it haram for a certain ummah or a nation, not because it is haram in and of itself, but rather because Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted to show to them, as a result of the harm that they did or the evil that they did, Allah Azza wa Jalla punishes them for that. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَٰلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ. This is how we penalize them for their disobedience. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. And we are true to our word. And so from the beauties of the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah Azza wa Jalla then made halal much of that which He made haram for those people. And so we know that the Jews, for example, have very strict laws when it comes to their food, their eating and their meat and so on. Their kosher laws are very strict in terms of slaughter and everything else. Allah Azza wa Jal made that for them as a test for them. But Allah Azza wa Jal made our laws much easier in terms of what we consume and how we can consume it. And that is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.